around. You know, it takes its time. About to check outside the game. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that whole mile on the range. They got a lot of nice girls. I'm right there.
I like that music somehow. It pumps me up into, you know, on an excited mode. Well, you know what? This is Nisha, your host at Drive Through HR, and my partners, William Tinkup and Brian Wimpen, are not available today. William is traveling, and Brian is busy with some board meeting. So it's going to be me, and I'm so much excited to talk one of my favorite friends, Steve Brown. So, hey, Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nisha. How are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you doing today?
I'm great, and I love that they had ZZ Top on there as well. I'm a big fan.
It's a
great song. Anytime that plays, it's good.
Yeah, totally. So, to our audience, if anyone out there who don't know about you, would you please introduce, or would you please talk a little bit about yourself, what you do, and about your company?
Oh, sure. I am the Executive Director of Human Resources for La Rosa's Pizza. It's called La Rosa's Inc. We're a pizzeria in southern Ohio, primarily. We also have some places in northern Kentucky and in Indiana. We are a 60-year-old company, so I work for kind of a Cincinnati tradition, and I get to have the chance to help run all of the human resources for a very large chain, honestly. Totally, we have 65 locations, and I'm over 15 of those, plus the corporate office, the call center, and our bakery, and we have a great staff that works with me in our area. It's a good company, really good.
Well, great to hear that. And Steve, let's get started with our regular question of Drive Through HR. You know, what's keeping you up at night these days?
I think the thing that's keeping me up is something that I get to work on here at La Rosa's. We're working on some organizational alignment. And it's exciting because I think a lot of HR people want to get involved in that and do organizational development, but they tend to do it from the fringe side of things. Right now, it's myself working with some of the executives on trying to see where we are as a company and where we're going as a company. And to do that from the human resource chair is really, really fun. We're taking a look at a whole different way to look at org charts and collaboration and responsibilities. It's very non-traditional.
Well, great. Well, in fact, you know what? To our audience, Steve is such a fantastic person. He just shares his insights in a simple and easy-to-understand manner. And if you are not following his blog, I would highly recommend to follow his blog. His blog's name is Everyday People, and that is at sbrownhr.com. It is so simple to understand, and you really delve into the real world trench HR issues. So, and as you said, you know, that organizational development part, Steve, I just wanted to know, you know, whenever any leadership changes happens in an organization, I want to know from you and to help our audience, you know, what's the role of an HR to align with this, you know, changing organization?
I think there's a couple of different points, Nisha. You can take the role, I think there's two sides, the role of designing and development and to show how the different areas of the company interact with each other. Too often we talk about silos in organizations, and those exist. And in some cases they need to, so that people do communicate well within their function within the company. But there's also a lot of room for communication across functions. And I think HR has a great chance to be that person or that role that makes that happen and connects the dots. And I think the second part of it is helping the transition happen. Because often when transitions happen in an organization, we make them happen, and then we just let them go and go, oh, we're done. Let's move on. I think the chances are, you know, to say, no, you know, this person's in this role because, and now let's help develop them. Honestly, the other part, if there's a third, I should have said a third earlier, I think a lot of companies talk about development, but very few of them do it. I think we talk about performance management and reviews, and those are very rarely, if ever, development-oriented, in my experience. I know there are companies that do it well, but most of them are reports, and reports on data that's old and feedback that's old, instead of saying, you know, I'd like to work with you and develop you and what you're doing so that you can contribute and be successful at every level. So we're looking at it being more integrated in our company going forward, not only here in the executive level, but throughout the whole organization.
That's so true, Steve, because I've seen, as you talked about the performance management, and most of them, it's just, you know, checking the box or, you know, finishing a paper appraisal or finishing this appraisal in their, you know, portal. But instead of having that one-on-one conversation, which makes it really meaningful for the employee, you know, where they should, what they should work on, what's the feedback and everything. And as you said, I would like to know more about that development-oriented programs that you do at your organization. So how can an organization, from an HR perspective, go about doing those functions in a development-oriented manner?
I think, for me, it needs to get away from the program perspective, like, hey, here's our program and here's our schedule, to more individual focus. I see things often on blogs and stuff on individual development plans and stuff, and I don't buy it. I think it needs to be, Nisha, what do you need? This is what we see as an organization. What do you see? But then when I go talk to Steve, it's not the same thing, because Steve's going to have different needs and different strengths. And the second part of it is we are trying to get away from a gap analysis approach where everybody says, this is what you do wrong and you need to get better at it, and more of a, you know, this is what you do well. How can I get you to do that better? So I think coming from a positive standpoint doesn't neglect challenges or obstacles, but it builds on what people can do for your organization versus what they don't do.
Awesome. And to our audience on our Twitter stream, I can see a lot of tweets are going on. And if you would like to ask any questions to Steve, just tweet with the hashtag DTHR. So we are talking about the real-world HR. So to those young HR professionals, what should they focus on most when they get into this HR function, or let's just say HR career?
Oh, there's a good question. I think they need to take a look at two things. One, what does the organization want them to focus on? And they really should try to say, what is the role of HR here? Not so much to change it right away, but get their feet wet and say, hey, you know, this is what HR can be for our organization, and understand the role and how they're to contribute. And then the second part would be, really make sure that the human side of it is effective, that they're with people, that they're not only just focusing on systems and compliance. Those things will take care of themselves if they have a better focus of the people first.
That's true. So, but how do we find a balance between, you know, what we have this complaints part that need to be, you know, right then and there, go as for the process, but at the same time, we have this strategic issues, I mean, strategic role of an HR in terms of finding and engaging the talent and making their life better in an organization. So how do we find a balance between both two?
I think people need to quit thinking of things as either or. And what by that I mean, it's not I do compliance or something else. I get to do all of it together. it's more to me like a fabric. So mm-hmm. if I have compliance issues, I need to work on that and give people context of why we are having compliance issues, whether that be paperwork or policies or procedures, but give people context, not just try and slap rules on them. And to quit thinking of strategy as some lofty thing that is never attainable at a mountaintop level. You can be strategic every day in every mm-hmm. part of your role. And you can do that, whether that's through employee recognition or compliance programs or hiring or recruiting, all the different facets of HR, you can be strategic every single day. Just making sure that what you're doing adds value to the role and the business is strategic in itself. It's not this big, hidden meaning behind the curtain and now I'm strategic. You know, you're not going to get knighted to do this. I know people that are very, very strategic who are throughout the levels of the organization, not just in leadership roles.
That's so much, there is so much truth in it, Steve. And I'm a big fan of your content, say about your content a little bit. And you mostly write about, the real world HR and make us become more enthusiastic about HR as a profession, and you help us believe that we HR can rock. So as you talked about, some of our HR professionals, they just hide behind the wheel, considering HR is just not a role that can inspire others. But you are on a different part of the world, where we would love to belong there, and we are trying to do that as much as inspiration that we can get from. So what are your thoughts on how we as an HR profession can grow in and out of that future?
Well, I think we have to understand that passion is not a dirty word. passion is what people want to have in all areas of their life. So if that's true, why wouldn't you make that about HR as well? If I have to come to work and not enjoy what I do, why in the world would I do it? It's funny. We want people to kind of come and just fit in and be in some mold, and I absolutely don't want that at all. It's funny. Right before we came on the air, my VP of operations just brought back my book, Orbiting the Giant Hairball by Gordon McKenzie. And it's something that someone gave me who said, hey, I saw this and thought of you. Because it talks about being creative. It talks about being innovative. It talks about looking for those opportunities to make people really shine. I think HR people tend to focus on what's wrong instead of focusing on the great people around them. And there are great people in every facet. I work with people that are 16 to people that are in their not-so-16s, late 16s. but the thing that's nice is every one of them has a story, a life, a family, experiences, and you can build on that. I don't think HR is about tactics. I think it's about people, and I think it always has been. And when people lose sight of that and tend to fall back on the structure of things, they miss the great things that happen all around them. I would much rather spend time in amongst people in an organization than dealing with the things that I have to deal with.
Awesome. Yeah, that's true. And most of the time, HR is just focus more on the process and procedures, but they just leave the credibility of embracing the differences. And what would I say, differences in people and treating them as a real human being.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, Nisha. I was talking to a group a few weeks ago, and we keep talking about diversity like it's this big lofty thing. Diversity mm-hmm. exists around us every day. It's inherently in us all because we're different. And that's what's exciting about it. You, I think, are in Texas, are you not?
Yeah, I'm in Texas.
Dallas, okay. So, just because you're in Texas and I'm Ohio, we're automatically different. You know, and that's exciting. So, you know, the culture in Texas is vastly different than the culture in Ohio. And we can learn from each other on that. We don't have to build programs around these things. We just have to take the experiences that we have every day and build on them and learn from them. It's already inherent in what we do. When we try to make programs in HR, we actually strip away the value of what we're trying to do. Instead of existing in what's around us, we try to limit what's around us because we think we can control it. And I think that really strips things down way too much.
Yeah, that is so much interesting concept, Steve. And I'm so glad you brought that up. And when it comes to culture, I'm so much excited in terms of learning new things and what is different from others and what makes it different than me as a person. Not just only HR, but I would believe, like everybody, if they think that the people in an organization or the people in the family also, right? Because we are all working different world and coming from different world itself, and coming from different background also. So when I interact with some people in a different manner, it's not the same with the other persons, right? It totally depends upon how much, what kind of a background I'm coming from and what kind of a family background also I'm coming from. And it totally duplicates on your work world also.
Well, I think, you know, you have a very valid point there. If you and I were working together, just coming today to work, we would automatically have different perspectives on the same thing. And where I see a lot of people, especially in HR, take that is they want it to be similar, the evil on the same page phrase. I hate that. It needs to be, how can we take our perspectives and make them a commonality or a common ground to move things forward so that you're heard, I'm heard, and others heard. It's not a collaborative thing per se. It's more... when people are heard, then they will be engaged. When they're engaged, they'll do great work. I think it's a lot more simple than people think.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to stress more on, I wanted to drive this conversation into, you know, focusing more on that functional aspect of an organization. Let's just say we HR, we interact with different functionalities in an organization. But from that management side, I would guess if they understand the differences and embraces the change in people in a team to make things happen, whatever is going on in a day-to-day perspective. So what is your advice to those functional management people? How do we as a as an HR function, help those functional management people to manage their team effectively by embracing the change within them?
I think you have to have a different approach. One of the most interesting pieces of feedback I received was people like my approach with people. And I thought, well, how cool is that? And I said, well, how would you describe it? Instead of, you know, people self-describing, I'm a this, I'm an expert, I'm a guru, all this other stuff, which is just hooey, honestly. They said, you meet people where they are.
Yeah.
And I think for teams to be effective, I need to meet you where you are, not where I think you should be, or not where I need to get you to go. Instead of just meeting you where you are, and a great example is this. Everybody's had a bad day. Everybody. People could be having bad days today. Instead of just running over them to get to the point of the business at hand, taking the step to say, hey, I understand something's concerning you. Let's talk about that. And you meet them where they're at. That shows the genuine piece of who you should be, and it allows them to express themselves, and they're on board. They'll do anything for you. Too often we jump to the business in spite of the people. I think we need to do business through people, not in spite of them.
Totally. And talking about these line managers, I'm sure they have a great role in engaging their employees in that bottom level. So what are your thoughts to those line managers to really inspire their team in a simple manner?
I think a good point to that is keep it simple. We tend not to. We tend to make it very complex. I think we need to explain the fact that dealing with people is tough. But what's funny is when we talk about situations like managers dealing with frontline staff, they always say them, they, us, those. And it's, you can see the separation even in their language. And there's an exercise I do. It's a lot of fun. I take a flip chart and I put the word employees on top of it. And then I say, okay, guys, explain to me employees. Just say whatever you want. And there's positive comments and negative comments, but the negative comments are hardcore, you know, lazy, stupid, selfish, all this stuff, because they're just getting it out. It's just, you got to really show the mirror to people how they really think of others. And then, you know, we go through the thing, and they get all excited, and then I say, okay, now who in the room's an employee? And then they go, oh, I am. So is this how you see yourself? No. Then why do you see this in others? I think you need to start all the way back there, and then you can build from it. Because if we have managers that believe in people while are in the way, they'll approach their work a whole different way. But HR needs to help teach them that. And HR also has to live that. Instead of it being a program that we push out, it's something that we practice.
Great indeed. Well, in fact, I, hearing this, I remember your post, I think, last week you wrote about stop the just ace, right?
Yes.
Yeah, there are employees sometimes. I often hear that in organizations. Oh, he is just a, you know, receptionist.
Yes.
Or he is just a sales executive.
Yeah, if we say that, and we have, I've said it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry, I stepped all over you. If you say that, and I've said it often, unfortunately, over my career, you're demeaning other people. It shows that you don't value what they do. That's just honestly unacceptable. A great thing that, like I put in the blog, if the cook doesn't do their job at our pizzeria, I don't have a job.
Totally.
So they're not just a cook. They're a cook, and I love that. And I love what they do and what they do for our company. I think, you know, I've really tried over my career, Nisha, to believe in others and not just be a person who says that, but a person who practices that. And I think if you do that and you spend time, I spend a lot of time on other people, whether it's through social media or through SHRM or through my organization, I've always believed that I need to be here for others first.
That's the great thing about it, because you see the value and credibility in others.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I think a lot of people shy away from that because they go, well, you know, someone's just going to disappoint me or someone's going to, you know, lose my trust. I've always believed in giving trust first. And I know that you're going to mess with it and we're going to hurt each other sometime, and that's okay. You know, we're going to get past that. But I think a person needs to step forward first. And the HR people that do that, I see a big difference in. You can talk to them about their organizations, and it's just glowing. People that constantly fight a battle thinking that everybody's against them or that the employees aren't working towards the common good struggle with what we do.
That is so much wonderful, Steve, because most often I can see in the work world, people would start with, okay, show me something that I can trust you. They would start from there instead of the other way, as you said. Start trusting your people first and then rely on, you know, going forward and making things happen. So, we are all talking about HR. What should we be doing differently going forward? What would be your advice to the young and upcoming HR professionals to do something differently from today onwards?
I think the biggest thing I'd love to see is people truly trying to connect and share the good work of what other people are doing. Not only your own good work, which is nice, and it is nice to have people go, ooh, look what you did. But there are so many people who are contributing such great work online, through blogs, through HR chapters, through SHRM. And for us to encourage and lift people up and get each other truly connected and not just retweet each other blindly because we think we should, I think making genuine connections will make the difference, because the newest generation coming into the workplace needs to know the value of other people. And right now, it's very fiercely independent from an older generation still, where our younger generations really want to collaborate and be connected to a vast amount of people, because they see them as resources and connections and value. But we have to encourage and do that. If I could fix Twitter, I would never allow them on another automatic retweet. And even though that means that people wouldn't send my stuff out, I wouldn't care, because I'd rather see people genuinely read it, take an interest in it, and then send it out if it mattered to the people that matter in their network as a resource. I think we need to be resources for each other instead of just people who regurgitate stuff. Make it fresh and real, and that'll make the difference.
Awesome. Well, going forward to our DTHR hashtag, John Jordan is asking, what song were you listening to before the show started?
John and I are big music people. So I was listening to The Clash before ZZ Top came on. Music's a big part of a lot of us out here. A lot of HR people love music. That's why we have the hashtag HR Music Share.
So that people can
see, you know, what people are taking in. Right now, the iPod is playing Friday Night, Saturday Morning by The Specials. So always something new.
Wow, that is so much interesting to hear, Steve. So going forward, what are your plans for the next year or the rest of the year, travel plans? Where can people connect with you, come and find you, get an order from you?
Oh, shoot. No. I'll be going to SHRM Leadership in November because I will be finishing my term as the state director for Ohio for SHRM. And then I just found out today that I am going to be a regional representative for SHRM starting in 2014. So I'll be working with 10 states from the Northern Central region, replacing Donna Rogers, who did a fantastic job in the role. So very excited about that. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Other than that, I'll be going to some local chapters. So if you want to come to Ohio, that's where I'll be. And then 2014, I plan to be in places a lot, all over the country.
Well, congratulations to you. That is so much exciting news for all of us.
Oh, thanks. I think it's a great chance to help others see the value of what SHRM really has. There's a lot of good things out there. And I follow the motto that someone taught me a long time ago. You can only make things better if you're involved. So I want to be involved.
Great. That are great words of wisdom right there. So, Steve, where can people connect with you online and offline? Let's just say your blog or Twitter ID or LinkedIn. What do you prefer?
I'm all of them. I'm all on LinkedIn. If you're not connected to me, please do. I have a lot of connections there. Would love to know more HR people from around the globe. If people want to get the HRNet, which is a huge thing for people to get HR resources for free, they can email me at sbrowne, it's S-B-R-O-W-N-E, at larosas.com, L-A-R-O-S-A-S. I'm on Twitter at sbrownhr, and my blog is Everyday People.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Steve, for being here with me today, and it was an interesting conversation. Look forward to seeing you in real life sometime soon.
All right, Nisha, thanks so much.
So to our audience, Paige, we'll talk to you later.